Gentlemen, welcome to the Competitive Edge Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hickman, husband, dad athlete, business owner, and hybrid coach. I went from being a former professional athlete to a first-time father gaining weight and losing track of who I was, to an elite dad athlete who completely redefined the meaning of competing as a father. This is your show to learn from me and several other inspiring dad athletes on how to effectively juggle fatherhood, fitness tactics, and mental focus. I'm excited you're here. Let's get started. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. The Competitive Edge Podcast is proud to have this standout fitness brand sponsor this episode, and we truly believe in their brand and what they stand for. Have you seen those super bright green jerseys that stand out at the races with the cool dog on the front? You can't miss them on race day. Do you know the fastest man in hybrid racing who finishes the assault bike in less than 15 seconds? Or do you know the one team that has 25 DECA World Championship podiums, including 14 first place podiums in the DECA season of 2023? Yes, that's right. It's a DECA World Champion, Kevin Gregory, and his hardworking underdog athletes. Kevin has run his premier hybrid OCR training facility in Wallingford, Connecticut since 2021, and has extended his reach by sharing his expertise and passion to athletes virtually all over the country, and also puts on high-energy DECA and HYROX events. The Underdog virtual training programs are found on an app that they use called Trainerize to efficiently track workouts, to communicate with their members on race strategy, game plans, race results, and more. There's also a group feature for all members to collaborate. Underdog customizes your needs to help you run your best Spartan, DECA, or HYROX. Contact Underdog Fitness today by visiting the Contact Us page, www.underdogfitnessgym.com, or just shoot them a message on IG. Kevin and the Underdog team has offered the listeners of this podcast 20% off their first month of programming with this discount code EDGE20. Again, use discount code EDGE20 to save 20% off your first month of fitness coaching from anywhere. And thank you for Underdog for supporting the Competitive Edge Podcast. We appreciate your commitment to helping athletes improve their race performance and creating their training programs that make a true difference. And to our listeners, we encourage you to support Underdog Fitness by attending one of their events, sign up for their virtual coaching, or check out the genuine tips that they publish all the time on their page on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to Competitive Edge Podcast, and please leave us a review on Apple. All right, we are officially live with Dr. Jason Wan, all the way in California today in the Pacific time zone. Jason is a renowned movement expert and chronic pain specialist and the founder of Flex with Dr. J. He helps people avoid unneeded surgeries and injections so his patients can experience movement without pain. He's a board-certified orthopedic clinical specialist with a passion for improving athletic performance and helping individuals overcome chronic pain. Jason runs the Pain-Free Academy, which is a virtual rehab fitness program, and continues to treat patients in the Bay Area and California. So today we'll be diving in deep into some strategies for maintaining peak performance and also how to hit peak performance while managing chronic pain if you are balancing athletic pursuits as a parent and as a business professional. Also, we will talk about innovative ways to exercise and some lifestyle modifications for long-term health and more. So appreciate you for coming on, Jason. Anything I missed?
No, that was spot on. Thank you so much for the fabulous intro.
No problem. I know that you're Dr. Jason Wan, but you're a father, right?
Yeah, I'm a father of two. I have a three-year-old son who is the most amazing child, but you know, he's like kind of like a dog. If you don't run him outside, he's just going to have pent-up energy for the rest of the night. And then I have a beautiful nine-month princess that still, you know, she's awesome as well. She has her own persona.
That's awesome. Best of both worlds, boy, girl. I always say to my joke around my wife, and it can never, like, I think there's like little brothers or other people that don't have kids yet that compare kids to dogs. But like,
dogs won't get the best exercise without other dogs. So it's like we try to keep up with them and play with them, but no one's going to give them the experience better than another kid out in the park somewhere. And then you have a little princess girl. I'm a girl dad of three girls. So
nice.
Welcome to the pink club. My closet has nice purple shirts. And every time it's their birthday, I'm wearing something purple or pink for them. So
absolutely.
Get used to it. It's awesome. But it's such a beautiful moment. Like they actually taught me how to feel a little bit more. Cause I, as a father, with my dad being a military veteran, I didn't really get that closure, hugs, all cuddling, all that stuff. And these girls allowed me to get it. So yeah, what's life like with two kids under three at the house right now? You're busy doing a bunch of things in business, working out. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, considering that a lot of my friends and family around me are like, you know, even my clients are like, bro, you're in the trenches right now. It's like, this is a time where they're not old enough to go to school full time. And then you have this 9-month old that I think I'm kind of balancing out, like going into the office and then taking time out to eat lunch with them. And, you know, being able to even like split up, you know, my business time and my clients, with still trying to be dad. While also balancing out the fact that like I'm just way too stubborn to let my health go. So that dad bod type of mentality is, well, you know, redefining that dad bod is like, I still want a strong physique, let alone whatever the six pack is. I just want to be strong and able and to be able to not have to hurt, you know, and always to be able to say that, be that yes dad to them. And I think that considering even my past from losing my dad at age 19, which it was just tough. It was a punch in the face. I think that me just being the man in the family and to be able to have two kids, I just want to exemplify that to not just the people maybe on your podcast, but everybody that comes around me knows and defines like how diligent I am with taking care of my health.
Spot on. Music to my ears, man. You're on the right show. Yeah, a couple things to unpack here, but like dad bod. The dad bod trend is one reason why I've jumped on social media in the first place before the podcast, just to prove people wrong. Like I just posted something of me running 3:36 pace. Probably it was only for a couple seconds, but I was doing speed work and I put in there like, but you're a dad. You're a 40-year-old dad. You shouldn't be running fast. And I put that in there. It's like, I love breaking this belief, like, hey, I'm 35, like, you know, now I just might as well just let it go. No, like, it's, you're a father, you're a leader, you're a husband, you need to be able to protect and take care of your kids, but also, like, your wife likes to be attracted to you. No woman, I mean, a lot of women would be like, don't worry, honey, I don't mind, but yeah, they mind, but I like what you said, also, balancing, it's always a balancing act, it's always a circus act, just balancing. One day you're too good at fitness. One day you're too good of a doctor, too much family time. And you kind of teeter and totter, but we learn as we go, right? What are some ways that you are able to, what advice or tips or hacks that you've figured out through trial and error that can help someone that's listening with time management, balancing all that?
Yeah, that's a, you know, my wife even knows that I'm a person that like one of my pet peeves is actually wasting time. Like it's just one of my pet peeves where like, you know, imagine if like the faucet breaks down and you're like spending like 2 hours and it's just like by the end of 2 hours, you haven't even like, it's not even fixed. It's like, it's one of the worst things. And I think that time is something that I'm really big on. Our most precious commodity in the world is not, it's not money. It's not that, it's time.
You'll never get it back.
Yeah. So the time spent, you know, with a lot of my clients, I say like the time spent in pain, the time spent, you know, reacting to your pains and time spent that, it's time away from your family. So the way that I manage my time, it's quite simple. And I'm also I always preach habits to my clients. So when it comes to when I had the first kid, I used to just work out 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. because I had no kids. But now I've had to adapt to a point where I have a pretty kind of ideal regimen that really works for me is I wake up at pretty much 5:45 in the morning every day, get in the same exact pre-workout meal every single day, walk downstairs, get in my workout. Pretty much I'm in the gym, in my home gym, 7 days per week doing something. Strength training. I live on a big hill, so I'm doing hill repeats and hill sprints. And that's just my time. You know, it's my time to dedicate to my own health. And then the rest of my day, it's solid. It's like I'm way more productive because I've gotten all these great hormones going. My body feels amazingly better. My body doesn't hurt at work. So starting off your day with like a solid pre-workout meal, lots of protein, plus then the rest of your day, you're just way more productive. And another thing that I do as far as time management is when a lot of people say like, I don't have time to exercise. Well, everybody has the same 24 hours. So one, I get in my workout, but at the same time, you get in these little spritz of workouts, these, I guess I call them these exercise chunks that enable you to feel better throughout the day. So before every meal, I tell my son, hey, Trey, get on my back right now. And I just do push-ups to failure every single meal. And I think that as somebody that is busy, equally as busy as any other dad or mom, is to be able to say to yourself, I can take care of my health, but sometimes I don't have to be that all or nothing mentality, as in 60-minute workout. If you can't get in 60 minutes, everybody's always like, bro, like I'm just gonna let it go and like just skip, you know, wait till tomorrow. And what I do is simply like, okay, well, while watching the Olympics, commercial break, do some Bulgarian split squats right then and there. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people can kind of adopt these like little exercise chunks, the culmination of how much exercise you get in a day will be at least 10, 20, or 30 minutes.
I love that. Yeah, there's a bunch of different things. First off, I can relate to that example. We just went on a vacation, and I work out all the time. And my wife's like, I'm going to probably bring some stuff, I told her, just in case she's like, they're not going to have any time. We're going to do the birthday party. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to do this. We're going to have time for you to do your workouts and this and that, because I work out all the time. And she wanted me to purely take a break. And I packed the car. I was like, you know what? There's room for this. I threw in two Bowflex dumbbells, a yoga mat, and a 30-pound Go Ruck backpack. And I was like, you know what? This is the bare minimum, man. Like, let me see what I can do. And I waited for that one moment. And we needed a lighter last minute in the morning, because my daughters like to have cake for breakfast, birthday cake. And so literally, like, it's half a mile away. And I was like, I'm not going to get in the car to go do that. So I ended up just putting the backpack on, sprinted there, sprinted back. And I got a mean sweat in a matter of like 2 miles, like whatever that was. But yeah, I mean, it's just, we all get 24 hours in the day. Who's going to fit it in? Who's going to be innovative and creative to make those situations work and find that window? And the next morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, just ran with the stars. It was cool. So like your tips, what you were saying was routine. You have your wake up, you have your morning, your push-ups with your child, but you're also filling your cup first to have a positive start to the day, like you mentioned. And I love the fact you mentioned everyone has 24 hours, so true. And then the fact that's progression over perfection is what I was hearing, because some people want to have like, you know, I got to have like this right moment to do this. It has to be perfect and also I'm not going to do it. No, like, just do it anyway, and then those small little chunks will grow over time, kind of like waves breaking rock over years. So
definitely.
I love that. Going back to what you said before that, you know, sounds like the trauma with your dad, like kind of losing him at an early age when you were 19, it just woke you up, and you know, you're like, I want to be the dad that can move and be moving and moving my body with my kids for a lifetime with no restrictions and no pain. I think that's beautiful too. So tell us a little bit about, what you do for work. What is Flex with Dr. J? I see you with the cutoff. You're flexing right now. I like it.
this is my MO right here. It's like, I show up to even like, you know, my business networking meetings and people are like, oh, this guy's in a tank top and shorts. I'm like, yeah, because I'm literally always prepped to work out like at all times. And
yeah.
Yeah, the thing that I do, I think like as far as my certification, I'm a board certified orthopedic physical therapist. I specialize in sports and orthopedic rehab specifically. And I love what I do. I help people specifically with certain chronic ailments and pain that are seemingly very hard to figure out. I think it's very hard to figure out for some people, because people are often go down this medical route of, you know, seemingly pain medication. They get some x-rays and MRIs, and I think they try to get to a definitive root of what's causing their pain. And when they start to hear too much information that they don't know what that is, like disc degeneration and disc bulge and spondylolisthesis, these words seemingly like give us clarity, but it also creates and perpetuates fear and anxiety. Like what is unknown. That? I don't know what that is. And that oftentimes just makes them avoid certain activities that maybe actually can be positively conducive to their health. So I'm, you know, I'm just like a cheerleader, you know, I'm not just a cheerleader and a motivator, but I try to tell people it is perfectly okay for you to pick up these dumbbells and to weight train and to believe in yourself that your body is resilient and you can get past this pain. But, I think that's kind of like the first thing that I do. And then secondly, once they kind of get out of pain, is to make sure that they're laying on strength, getting them onto a appropriate progressive overloading protocol. And I always say that strength training is not just going to make you live longer and steer off all diseases in the world, but it's also going to give you back that quality of life that you've always deserved. And once they start to embody strength training as like one of the main medicines, using dumbbells as medicine and replacing the medication in your drawers as a medicine, but using dumbbells and weight training as a medicine, then it's time to layer on the habits, right? So once they start to get rid of their pain, they start to feel stronger, more able. The last and kind of final phase is to build in these habits and to start automating more exercise into their life. Same thing goes like one of those strategies around is like before every meal, throw a tray on my back and do freaking push-ups. And you know, those types of habits really allow a lot of my clients, a lot of the people I serve to have more sustainable results and for them to not ever have to use me again.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I mean, you're making a big difference. I'm glad you're on the show because for example, like we have no pain medication, no pills whatsoever in our house. So if it's not a vitamin, like it's been like that for probably 4 years now. And my wife is a herbal healer. So she's a certified herbal healer. So if anything's wrong whatsoever, we're getting the family doctor on it.
Absolutely.
So there is a family, I'm getting better at not saying people's names, but I have a close family member that like their entire house is full of pill bottles. Like it's just nonstop throwing back and they don't work out. They don't move their body. The only time they move their body is driving to work and walking down the hallway and coming and then walking back home. Like that's it. Everything else is sedentary and it's tons of calories in. The food is not nutritious and it's just a bit just slowly coming out. And you know, I don't want to go that route. I'm total opposite. You know, it's like if there's a way for me to fix something out there naturally, I'm going to do it first before reaching out to go do other, conventional ways. And I think a lot of people do it because of convenience, because like Amazon, we can get things in a day in the mail. We can watch Netflix, DVR it. We can record it, stop it. We could skip the commercials. So now it's like, that's why the dad bod trend is real, because if there's a problem with my shoulder, you can get a pill and fix it, but then it might underlying like ruin something else in that pill that you don't know about that ruined something in your gut. Now you have a hole in your intestines or something like that. It's just all this. There's no way to properly fix it unless they see someone like you or do it themselves, right? Yeah. And I love what you're encompassing, like the strength training, because a lot of people don't. They're just not. They don't know what to do. It's just so simple. I ended up losing 40 pounds with dumbbells and my hands and running. And that was it. Yeah. I didn't need a fancy gym. I started my company, so I couldn't really afford a gym at the time.
Sure.
So it's possible, you know? But, lastly, it's just like a lot of people are like mentally too, because COVID, they're trying to compare themselves to other people on IG, all this different things that are happening or in the world that it's making them upset. Some people are mad at them because they took the vaccine or didn't take the vaccine, or they're mad because they're homeschooling. They're mad that they're RVing across the world. There's so many different things mentally, but that are also feeding the bad sauce for their bodies as well. But I mean, what advice do you have for people out there that don't have the courage to Google you online and for advice? Like what first step can they take if they've just been taking pills nonstop and they're not moving their body that much? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think that people that get fixated to what you were saying, and I've had that conversation with people that, you know, Amazon Prime, man, it's like that type of instantaneous gratification where you can have something delivered to you within hours, I think is, and the fact that you can just find entertainment wherever you want. You know, like, you know, my dad used to tell me like, hey, you know, we would have to huddle around a TV once a week in order to watch this one show and everything's just black and white. It's like, that's their form of entertainment. Now you can literally entertain yourself every 10 minutes. Just hop onto TikTok, hop onto Instagram. And I think that's something like, even though I'm part of this era where it's a digital era, I still find my abilities to say to myself, well, how is this being conducive to my health? How is this being conducive to my well-being? Is this actually something positive that's actually inching the needle forward for me health-wise, financially, relationships? And usually often the case is like when you are fixated to your phone, it's going the opposite direction in every way possible. You're more sedentary. You're spending less time with your kids because your face is fixated to a phone. So I think that I think people just need to have mindfulness and just being aware of the current predicament in the room. I think that's the first place to start. It's like, if they're not willing to Google things, well, just be mindful and be aware of the predicament you're in. It's like, well, I am 30 pounds heavier. My body hurts all the time. I don't feel even half as spry as I used to be. And I need to realize that. And some people are just in this, you know, it's psychology. It's like they're in this they're not even pre-contemplation stage. They're just not even aware. But once they start to see something, like they see your podcast or they see my post, oh, okay, now they're kind of pre-contemplating. Like, I think maybe I should change, because they're not aware of their situation. And then eventually, as they start to seek out more of these more like great podcasts that really encourage them to change their life, then they start to go through contemplation. Then they're actually preparing themselves. Mm. Okay, I need to do something. And then finally, then they start to take action. Right. And after action, it becomes like sustainability. But until they're actually aware and mindful of their situation, they don't make the change. And sometimes it takes, honestly, sometimes it takes a stroke. Sometimes it takes a heart attack. Sometimes it takes something that hits them in the face or Achilles tear or something that's just like, well, damn,
wakes you up.
Now I need to change things. And I always encourage people, don't get to that point of hitting rock bottom. Try not to. You know, and me and you, our mentality is, if you work hard now, you have a much easier and more fulfilling life later. You can continue to walk and go on cruises and enjoy retirement. But if you're not working hard now and you wait for the stroke to happen, you wait for something deleterious to happen, well, therefore, you're going to have to like just climb uphill all day just to get back to normalcy. And what then, once you get back to normalcy, are you going to continue to go beyond that, which is like really elevate your health, really elevate your strength and your resilience? So yeah, hopefully that was a good way to answer your question.
No, it was good. And what you said earlier, you were saying something along the lines of something I thought was like asking yourself, is this like your judgment or your decision or what you're going to do or you're ingesting in your body, is that going to help you in the bottom line? And it was a saying of asking yourself, a business owner, I forget who it was, like, is this going to help move the boat faster? Like, if you are having a milkshake, or if you are smoking a cigarette, or if you're drinking a beer, is that going to help your boat move faster? And if you're trying to be a badass businessman and an amazing husband, and you want to win some races and stuff like that, but you're not, like, think about it. Like, if you're throwing something in your engine that's not helping it move faster, then you probably should realize it's not for you. Some people have to get that punch in the face. You know, it happened to me when a family member of ours passed away, and we donated all their stuff out of the garage just to a place for a good cause. It's like the garage is empty. Once it was empty, it was like a wake up call. It was like, wow, we do not want to live this life in this cookie cutter neighborhood with these fake friends. And, you know, it's like, this is what life's all about, having two fancy cars that we could barely afford in a house. It was like, no, let's just experience life and experience it with our kids. So many different things. And then also, what you're talking about is like, yeah, we all got to like work hard and try to do things the right way. But also, guys, like, remember, like, it's not about just being aesthetically pleasing and looking good. You didn't say that, but it just brought up into something me and my wife were talking about that I'm working on, is like, just because someone looks jacked or ripped abs, like, inside their body, if they're not healthy internally, it's you're still losing. Right. And that's what I'm facing right now with, like having the computer all the time in front of me as a physician recruiter, low vitamin D, you know, now I'm in the sunlight more often. Like, I look like I'm from Trinidad. Like, I got this, like this tan going on as a Puerto Rican, but, it's something, man. It's you got to work on your nutrition, your mind and your fitness all synergistically for you to get going. But if you have a huge belly and a dad bod and you haven't worked out since high school, one step at a time. Don't overdo it. Just take one at a time. Reach out to Jason for help. Also, just guys, just be careful, like the watching too much blue light. It does have effects on you. We're not going to get into that. But definitely look out for that. So athletics as a kid for you, Dr. Jason, like what was it like growing up? If did you play any sports or what got you into that?
Yeah. I mean, the two punches in the face that like really elevated my fitness. One was just, obviously my dad passing away and, just seeing him lose 30, 40 pounds of muscle, like within a year and a half was one of the more just like continuous punches in the face to kind of, I changed my identity on where I'm at today. And then, when I was younger, I had a pretty weird childhood of just being extremely obese, you know, up until like sixth grade. And my dad was, the basketball coach, you know, and he was well renowned at our school. And, you know, people were just saying, you know, like I got a lot of ridicule, got a lot of backlash. Like you just made the basketball team cause your dad's on, you know, your dad's the coach. And I think considering how much ridicule I got from like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I think that was one thing where I just cracked. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm going to fast. I'm going to open up this encyclopedia. You know, we didn't have Google search as much, right? So encyclopedia, started looking up random stuff, fitness, nutrition, exercise. I just started to like run home, you know, run for 45 minutes. And, you know, I think that was one thing that really pushed me. And I lost 25 pounds by myself from like seventh to eighth grade. And then, basketball, cross country, track, swimming, you know, I did four sports all 4 years, going into high school. And then, Davis, I started to take on just, you know, my classmates and student or like, you know, my friends for free, just like doing some personal training at UC Davis. I guess that's a lot of the stuff that kind of pushed me down that route. And then which really pushed me overboard, obviously, was a pretty tragic moment. But, you know, this is my identity now. And this is what I'm trying to do for the world.
And it's not a wake up call that you want to have in your life. We didn't ask for these people to leave the earth, but it woke up that beast, that competitive edge inside of you just said enough, like enough is enough. Like, and you became obsessed with researching it. And then you traded convenience for fitness, walking instead of taking a bus or a car and running or whatever that is. I remember those days back in the day, like I used to run back from my high school, like 2.5 miles to my house just for the heck of that. It's just weird. Now that I think of just running down a steep hill, like people are probably like, what's this kid doing? I'm just a jock.
There's a perfectly good bus right there, man.
Yeah. I'm just an athlete right here.
Yeah.
Well, four sports in high school, just busy man. It's awesome. But like, sometimes it's what it takes for us Americans. We don't want to seek help. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. And then once we realize we're wearing a size 40, 42 pants, it's like, all right, guess it's time to make a change. But,
for sure.
But I mean, since we're kind of in that area, I mean, obviously you had that competitive edge sneak out to you and you're still living it to this day where with your routine, with your way of life, we all get 24 hours, you're helping people all over the world in the Bay Area. Where does that competitive edge come from and how would you define the competitive edge when you think about it, when you think about those words?
Yeah. When you think about competitive edge, I don't think I'm necessarily competing against anybody. Like, I think a lot of people are like you just kind of said, Daniel, like people compare themselves on Instagram to all these various things. And little do people know, it's like, it's a lot of filters. You don't know what they're actually doing as far as like health internally. So I think I was getting kind of caught off guard with like looking at all these like super big fitness models and be like, oh shoot, like I'm not that. But I think one of the things that allows me to be successful with my own health is just competing against myself. I think that's the edge that I have is I don't need a group class. I don't need Orange Theory. I don't need any of these other group classes to keep me motivated. And I'm very kind of like intrinsically motivated to compete against myself each and every day. So I don't need anybody. I'm literally in my garage and I am working my ass off every single time to the point of sometimes, you know, you get a little bit lightheaded, but you're literally pushing that sub-maximal threshold of your endurance, your agility, your strength. And I think that's what gives me the edge. I mean, the other edge, competitive edge is that people don't know this, but I was a math major at UC Davis before I went into exercise.
Yeah,
and that actually gives me an edge because I track all my data, you know, and data is nowadays that's very popular, like the Fitbits and the Whoop bands and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like that's I've been tracking my data since 2014. I can see what I did, what my high bar squat was in 2014. And people are like, you're insane. I was like, but yeah, I have literally 10x the amount that I can deadlift from when I started in high school. And that's the edge that I have. It's a mathematical, it's a structural process of building my body. And at some point, you know, Mother Nature, God will say, hey, at this point, you know, you're going to start slowing down. But, you know, I'm going to push that over the hump era
yep.
as far as humanly possible.
Exactly.
And I know people that are like Joe Stockinger is just somebody that I always revert to. I think he's like 93 years old. But man, he is still deadlifting 405 pounds off the floor. He is still squatting three plates. I mean, I admire those people. And I don't think that it's just they were dealt a good set of cards. I think it's a product of their resilience, their consistency, and that consistency of just working on your body each and every day. And just, again, what you just said, 1% better daily, a James Clear Atomic Habits type of mentality to just continue to be 1% better every single day. Just work on something. You don't have to be perfect. Life's not be perfect, especially when you have two kids, but just fitting in those 10 minutes of exercise and then, again, breaking out that time to work on self-care. I think that pays dividends 10 times over.
100%. And also going back to the IG highlights that you're talking about, like I feel like it's just people's highlights. You know, like, you know, back in the day, I was posting about RV life and it was like, oh, we're traveling. It's great. Like, yeah, it was great. But then there was these down moments. It's like, oh my God, we got a leak in the ceiling or, oh my God, we just hit something or you know what I mean? Or there's coyotes outside. Like, you can't go outside at dark in Sedona, Arizona, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, you got to watch out for that. I feel like it's like little stages when you're trying something new, that's hard as F, like, it gets scary. So the unknown is scary. Just like those big words that you said earlier, the clients don't understand or patients don't understand. It becomes scary because you don't know what you don't know. I always talk about how like you could be in the middle lane going speed limit and you might not see anyone on your blind side because you just don't know what you don't know. But also I love that you do you versus you. I'm in the garage too, man. If you were my neighbor, I think we'd be hanging out. I don't need, like, seriously, like, neighbors like, hey, how's it going? How's life? I'm like, hey, how's it going? Just like, I don't ignore them. I'm respectful, but like, I don't need that. Like, I don't
External
need to
motivation.
Be part of a wolf pack. Like, I'm okay by myself. And then occasionally every 3 months to test myself against the other wolves. Like, that's my style. But yeah, the data thing is huge. Like, you should do DECA events, dude. You should race. Like, if you're, like, heavy in data, you'll do great, man. You should try it out. Yeah, definitely look that up. Because you're obviously fit and test your body to it. It's functional fitness, so it's not, like, deadlifting or, like, anything that's going to, like, hurt yourself. Tracking your data is always huge because it's motivating as heck and it keeps you accountable. So, especially when you're writing down your numbers and you realize you didn't do as well on your lift compared to 2 years ago, you'd be like, all right, what's going on? Did I get enough sleep? Like this, you know, this and that. And you go back to the drawing board and fix that stuff. But yeah, 1% better every day is the long-term plan. That is the best way to go. As a dad, right? So what would you say is your biggest struggles as a dad, to be completely transparent? And how did you overcome those if you haven't?
Well, I think one of them, especially at this stage, and it's going to be different for every dad, but I think one of them is definitely the sleep quality. You try to optimize every aspect of your nutrition and strength to try to make up for the fact that your kids are still going through these sleep regressions and these milestones. And so, you know, you just got to prepare for the unprepared. It's just like, they're just going to throw you random wild cards and you just got to adapt on the fly. So I think that's one struggle. And I think that another struggle is just, yeah, to be transparent as a business owner, that I've had my business for over 5 years now, quite successful in the Bay Area as one of the, I think, you know, one of the best PTs that can help people is that balance between fatherhood and just like work. And I think that, yeah, a lot of dads do struggle with that because dads just historically in America is to provide financially for the family. And I think that I still have that sense of if I don't provide, I'm a failure as a father. But then where else you can fail as a father is if you're spending too much time in the office, you're spending too much time not not spending it with your kids. And I think that where I see the most and the most rich value is not about the my net income, or it's not about how much money I can make. It's about the times that you can spend with your kids. And it's the quality of those moments. We don't go through life saying, damn, man, I wish I bought that Maserati. You know, we usually go back in life and we think about our life and we say, well, I wish I spent more time with my kids. I wish I had the ability to do so. So even if you are spending time with your kids, but let's say you're in pain or like your body hurts, it's like, you know, sometimes you say no to your kids and that hurts. It's like, yeah, you say no, like, oh, I can't do it, I'm too tired. Or you're really short with your kids because your body, you're not taking care of your body. So I think that strikes that balance between I want to provide for my kids financially, but at the same time, you know, I do want to spend time with them. And if you're a dad that's not as healthy, you know, try to elevate your health so that you can have more of those happy moments with your kids rather than saying no or I can't. And that part really just strikes a chord because, you know, at some point my dad, he was just saying like, I'm sorry, I can't, like, it was just tough. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. So, you talked about working out in the garage, your children are under three. So like my kids are 11, 9 and 4. You're going to experience this, but like I'm working in my garage. I'm getting my sunlight in the garage, right? Because as long as you have the garage open, you're getting the sun rays are coming in. Yep. But like I have my desk facing the driveway and I'll put my car to block the driveway. And the kids will just grab their scooters, their wiggle scooters, their hockey sticks, their soccer balls, whatever it is, they're out there and they get to see them and they know daddy has to work to provide, right? But occasionally they'll come in like, she hit me in the eye or this and that, or like, hey, can you watch me do this trick? And it's worth it. You know, it's like they're not going to be this small forever and daddy's here. Like they could be at school. I could be driving into work and not seeing them till nighttime. So I'm just blessed that I took that chance to start this company, and which was really hard. I do not recommend anybody to do that. But another thing is like time management as a work from home dad. Like you said earlier, I had an example yesterday because like just because our kids ask us to do something and we can doesn't mean we have to do it. So for example, yesterday I was trying to work. I was in the zone and my daughter's like, hey, can you fill up the pool? And I'm like, all right, that means I got to clean it out. I got to turn it upside down. I got to turn on and off the water. I got to fill it up and then I got to come back outside to turn it off. I was like, all right, I'm not going to do it right now, but can we do it tomorrow? First thing in the morning. They're like, oh, okay. So it's like, whew, like, I'm not letting them down, but I literally wrote down, write down right away on my to-do list, like fill a pool tomorrow. I think another thing I learned is to not tell the kids maybe, because the maybe to them sounds like a yes. And it's a broken promise in their eyes. So what would you say is your biggest accomplishments as a father?
I think that my accomplishments as far as a father so far, and you know, I think that you have at least 8 years more experience as a dad than I, but I think that considering the little milestones that I can definitely be happy about is when I'm with my kids, you know, I'm deeply immersed in like their eyes, their smile. And I think that's, I'm not going to say, I think I'm sure all dads and moms, they love their kids, but to be able to kind of essentially slow down time, that's actually one of my powers. It may not be a power, but I just made it up. It's like, I can physically feel like I'm slowing down time through being just activating all my senses from the way they smell, their smile, and just like embracing all five senses to the point where it almost slows your perception of time. And that might sound too woo-woo-wah-wah with people. And that was actually my second episode of my podcast was about how to slow down that perception of time because we all have a finite time. 100% of us we know are going to pass at some point in life, but you got to make the most of it. So when I'm with my kids and I'm teaching them how to bike, it's like I am there. And it's not just something that I pass by and all of a sudden a week you're just like, what the hell did I do? What did I do last week? It's like, no, you embrace and you activate all five senses to the point where it's so vivid that you can remember it the rest of your life. And if you have more of those like really concrete, almost you can feel it type of memories, I think that really increases your quality of life. So obviously pain relief specialist is what I do, but I think to give people that sense of, man, like, it's not just about getting rid of my pain. It's about transforming your quality of life. And that time that you kind of gain back through really vivid memories, I think is a really powerful thing.
It's very powerful. I love what you said. It's beautiful. The people that are listening, hope you're taking notes. I took notes. But yeah, there's certain ways like I'll stay in the moment. Like I always make sure I pick them up in the morning, no matter how big they are. Like daddy's strong, he can still pick you up in the morning, like especially my oldest.
Yep.
But I think the kids don't really remember what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. So if you're using all your five senses, like you said, like, wow, that's like knocking it out of the park for your kids. You know, like they know when I'm in front of a computer, like I'm not really fully paying attention, but when I'm off of it, I'm there. And I've been past couple months, I've been trying to put my phone on airplane mode when I'm with my wife or my kids, because there's no one that's really, other than my parents, that's as important to talk on the phone. Yep. So there's really no point in having that distraction. I love that slowing down time. I just think of like the Flash, like superheroes, people like that, where you're just slowing down time and you're really, really paying attention. That's a good point, because fathers can be sitting on the couch with their kids, but they're just like fooling around on Candy Crush or something. And you're like, yeah, honey, yeah, sure. But like, they're not really paying attention, and the kids are paying attention that you're not paying attention. And the last point I want to make as dads that have girls is allowing the girls to understand how a man is supposed to treat them. And if we're setting that bar, there's a higher chance they're going to make a better decision to choose the right guy, hopefully. But, so that's cool, man. So we talked about time management already. I know you talked about sprinting. So as a busy man in the morning working out, sprinting is probably the most efficient way you can do it. What are some other ways that you work out?
Yeah. I mean, you said sprinting, and I love that, because when we were living in a small condo with just one kid, and we moved just like 2 years ago, you know, there's most 90% of dads or 90% of people in the world after the age of 30, they never sprint again. I thought that was wild. That was a crazy statistic.
Yeah.
Sprinting is an easy, like very cost efficient, time efficient way
to keep
your muscle, to maintain, type 2 fast twitch fibers, you know, and we lose power output by a good 8 to 10% every decade as we get older. So nothing better than sprints, to be honest, preventative of injuries. How many of my friends tore their Achilles, unfortunately, because they just weren't sprinting. They weren't doing those things.
Yeah.
The question was again, I feel like I went off a tangent when you started talking about sprinting.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about what other ways do you work out other than sprinting?
Yeah. Mobility. I mean, I think that considering that our spines and everything gets stiffer, if you're somebody that sits for 4 to 8 hours, mobility, I've made that a huge habit. Like after every Zoom call, after every podcast episode, get to the floor, do some spine mobility things, or get on the foam roll and just move your body. Mobility, even though it doesn't burn a lot of calories, is just something that maintains just a body that feels mobile and loose and not just like super stiff in the morning. The other things I do, I still hoop, still play a lot of basketball. I think that's a great way that mixture of jumping and multi-directional movement. Again, in the gym, strength training 7 days a week. Occasionally we'll do some sort of high intensity interval training type of work. And there is something that the research as far as VILPA, which is like vigorous intermittent lifestyle physical activity. I thought the research was wild that if you just do 4 minutes of activity that actually ramps up your heart rate to over 75% of your max, is that you live another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I thought that was crazy. I'm like, who doesn't afford the time to do 4 minutes?
But it has to be perfect. You got to get the gym membership. You got to go to GNC. You got to buy a great workout. You got to have good headphones. You know, you got to find the right time of day to do it. You know, and none of that works out. So, you know, I'm just not going to go. And I'm going to let Planet Fitness to keep taking my monthly costs.
No. Get a kettlebell, get a dumbbell, very cheap. Go to Target, get one. I just saw kettlebells yesterday. They're cheap.
Yeah.
Get a kettlebell, do kettlebell swings. You know, 10 minutes of kettlebells. 5 minutes of kettlebell swings replicates like 30 minutes of cardio. I mean, it's crazy. So you can be time efficient in so many ways. And going back to VILPA, 8 to 10 minutes of VILPA yields another 5 to 6 years of life. I mean, when you think about that, it's like who can't afford,
who doesn't have that
to ramp
time
up their heart rate for 10 minutes, 600 seconds.
Yeah. So one more question here, because I know we're cutting at that time, but obviously we talked about dad fatherhood, but let's talk about as a husband, right? You are so crazy busy. as a PT, running your business, being a father, being a great role model to your patients, and every jumping on podcasts, where do you find the time for your wife, and how do you make her feel seen on a regular basis? Keep that love alive.
Yeah, it's a great, I think that's such a like profound question, because I think even when you have kids, you know, two kids below the age of three, you know, her priorities also are not necessarily just keep my husband happy. You know, it's,
yeah.
She even said it to herself. It's like, hey, if all of us were stuck at sea and we had to save just two people, it's like, I'm saving the kids. And I thought like, you know, some dads would be like, what the hell? Like what? It was like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, sometimes our kids come first at this specific moment in time. And that's exactly what she's doing. She's one of the most amazing people. By the way, nurses make great wives. She's a registered nurse. And she, I mean, I'm so damn happy for her, because she's just the best mom in the world. How she looked at her child, how she takes care of Bella, it's amazing. And the way that she just prioritizes Trey, and he's potty training right now. And like, she just literally, her endeavors when she's not at work, it's just, let me take them outside. Let me take them to the zoo. And she's like on a concerted effort to bring back more memories. But going back to my role as a husband, is that we still, like, I don't care. Like if she's in the kitchen, I'm just giving her a 2 to 3 minute massage. If she needs to, she needs her own time. So a lot of times I will ask her, hey, like, I will take the two kids for an hour. Do you want to go to TJ Maxx? Do you want to go shopping? Like, do you want to do what you need to do?
Or something, or...
Yeah,
walk.
Just anything to clear her head. And I think, though, and you still have to break out time. So like asking maybe the grandparents or even my own family members, like, hey, can you take the kids for a bit so that me and her can go to like a concert or dinner?
Yeah.
I think those are ways that I like to see. I love just leaving her just a sticky note, right? A sticky note just to be like, you are the absolute best in the world, and there's nobody else I would rather spend time with or spend life through. I know she appreciates just the small things, and I don't cook as much as I need to. Like I meal prep myself and cook bulks of chicken, but she loves somebody that can kind of like cook. So like the occasional like cook her breakfast and lunch, I think those
just
are...
Just give her a break.
Exactly. So
but that's cool.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process of just working with each other. But we always said that, you know, there's no chance in hell that we're going to leave each other. If there's ever times where we're going to be like having a feud, we always bring it to the surface that day, and we always end the day with saying, I love you.
Yeah, I love that. That's great advice for anybody that's listening. It sounds like a beautiful partnership, man. It's cool. Keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, it's just like IG, man. It's like, well, that's the highlights, right? But they don't know the nitty gritty. But that's advice for everybody out there. I hope you listen and pay attention to that. Put your wife first, and everything will be smooth. So any closing remarks to the dads that are listening on the show here?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, you kind of can see the MO and the identity of me and Daniel. And, you know, is everybody going to be a person that works out 7 days a week and goes to the garage and just like spends an hour a day? No, you don't have to be that person. I think that trying to aim for perfection is not the goal. You know, that progress over perfection, I think, is beautiful. And I think that one other thing is just kind of just remembering your why. And that's something I always say, is that When you have a strong enough sense of why, it compels you to tears. It compels you to take action. And I think my why is like, when I saw my dad pass away, it was one of the worst things that I can ever imagine on anybody. So my why is to always be there for my kids. My why that drives me to do everything in my business is to love my family and to never say no to them. And I think that's why I'm so freakishly stubborn about my own exercise and my own mentality. So if you can have that why, it drives that action that you have not been taking in your life. Think about why and keep peeling the layers of the onions until it puts you to tears. And I think that might drive you to take some action.
And find that why without waiting for something traumatic to happen. Don't wait for that moment, because it might not even happen. It might happen when you're like 67 and like, I'm ready. I see clarity now. It might be too late now.
Exactly.
But thank you for sharing that, by the way. And I appreciate you for coming on the show. So quick thank you to our sponsor of this episode, Underdog Fitness. A reminder to our listeners who are in search of a virtual fitness coach who trains anyone from a beginner to elite athletes, take advantage of a limited time 20% off EDGE20 code. Again, it's EDGE20 to unlock your competitive edge for your next Spartan, Deca, or Hyrox race. Lastly, please subscribe for our free Substack newsletter. That's why I read it out loud. It's just like, I don't need anything perfect, to get the new episodes sent directly to your email inbox. So, you know, Dr. Jason Wan, it was great to have you on the show. How can the listeners support you and your journey in helping people have movement without any pain?
Yeah, I mean, feel free to come to, you know, my avenues, which are like Instagram, TikTok. You can find me anywhere. I mean, mainly I go by Flex with Dr. J on Instagram and TikTok, so feel free to grab lots of free value there. And, you know, honestly, I'm just happy to be a part of this podcast. And if anybody feels like they want to take, you know, any extra steps to seeing what I'm about, you know, they can always feel free to direct message me, and a lot of my information on Yelp, Google, all over the place. So, yeah.
Awesome. Love everything you're doing, man. Thank you for coming on the show. Hold on 1 second. Stay here.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Have you noticed we upgraded the podcast episode images recently? These images just pop more and look really clean now. We are proud to be partnered with Shiz Graphics. The owner, James, has a strong passion in bringing images to life with his unique graphic skills while offering fast delivery and flexibility. He works with brands that we know and trust, like Obstacle Race Media, Rally in the Valley, Protein 2O, Wad Zombie, Grit Games, Riverbend CBD, Lids, CrossFit, and more. The type of projects Shiz Graphics takes on are nameplates for CrossFit competitions, company logos, social media athlete announcements and podium image edits, YouTube and podcast art like this one, and custom trading cards. Shiz Graphics is easy to reach and ready to help your business or athletes stand out. Send your next edit request directly to James on IG at shiz.graphics, which is shiz.graphics, G-R-A-F-F-I-X. And a big thank you to Shiz Graphics for supporting the Competitive Edge podcast. We appreciate your commitment to helping hybrid racers and businesses stand out with your art skills. And to our listeners, we encourage you to support Shiz Graphics and give them a try. Send an edit or two their way. Don't forget to subscribe to the Competitive Edge podcast and leave us a review. Hey, fellas, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on your social media, or leave a rating and a review. You can also shoot me a direct email to competitiveedge2023@gmail.com. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at DanielHickman26. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.